Okay. Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Carmen, that song was beautiful. I don't think I've ever heard that. It was gorgeous. And I'm real thankful to be up here and sharing what's on my heart and mind to you guys, because I've been thinking about this for a long time. And it was back months ago. It was, I think it was like in December, January maybe, but we had like a 60-degree day. And Yvonne and I went to that Smithville, New Jersey, and walked around. And we were listening to a teaching tape. I don't even know who it was. I think it was Dr. Rowe's grandson or something like that, or son-in-law. But, and I honestly say, I don't even remember what a lot of it was about, because I was driving. But he made one comment in there that had stuck with me. And he said, "What is your image of Jesus Christ?" And I thought, well, that's pretty darn powerful. What is my image of Jesus Christ? And just from the prayers and the manifestations and the songs, we all have a good image of Jesus Christ. But it can always be better and clearer. And so that made me start reading the Gospels. I really started reading the Gospels over and over again. And I don't know who, if you have the audio Bible, but I love the guy that reads my audio Bible. He gets into it. And, you know, and they're real true stories coming to life as I listen to him. And it's really great. So I started thinking for the past couple months, what is my image of Jesus Christ? And then the other day, I went to CVS to pick up Chuck's medicine. And I'm paying the bill, and the girl says to me, "Do you have a daughter named Julia?" And I said, "Yeah, I do." And she goes, "It's amazing how much you look like, she looks like you." And I thought, I only have a little bit of her and of me and her. But look at the resemblance. Look at the resemblance that all of our children and our family have. So our walk should resemble the walk of Jesus Christ as close to it as we can. And continue to strive each and every day for that. And I know this past couple months we've learned a lot about the name of Jesus. We learned a lot about power and authority. And so I want to share with some of the things that I've learned. And it says, do we resemble him? In our life, do we do what he would do? You know that little phrase, what would Jesus do? Do we do that? I know in my line of work, boy, I come in contact with some crazy people. And it's really hard sometimes to not just want to strangle them or, you know, whatever. Just, you know, so you got to bring yourself back in. And what would Jesus do? And I know we don't always do it, but it's available. The clearer our walk with Jesus, the clearer our image of Jesus Christ is, the clearer our walk will be with him. So with that, go to Philippians chapter 2. And I know this is going to be nothing new, but that doesn't matter. We can always still see things, because I sure learned a lot in doing this. Philippians 2, verse 5. It said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also Christ Jesus." Okay, so then it's available. "Who being in the form of God," he was in the form of God, "thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Now in verse 9 it says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So that's what God did for Jesus Christ, as Jesus Christ walked his life and did the Father's will all the time, did the Father's will. But he doesn't forget about us. He told us to put that mind on. So put on the mind of Christ. And look what verse 12 says. "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to do will and to do of his good pleasure." God didn't tell us, put on the mind of Jesus Christ and walk away from us. He works within us to do his will and good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings. If we kept our eyes on God and did the word, we wouldn't have murmurings and disputings. That's simple as that. I know it's hard. But why? In verse 15, "that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." Now, this is, you know, if I had a title to my teaching, it would be "What is the Image of Jesus Christ?" You can sit down. Come on in. And one time at my fellowship, when we have it Thursday nights, or I should say our fellowship, not just mine, but I don't remember what I was sharing on that night, but my image that I wanted to, had something to do with Lights of the World. The image that I portrayed, I did it very powerfully, just playing around, but as I did it, I thought, this is really cool. I made sure that before anybody came in that night, I didn't have one candle lit, because I'm a candle person, and just the regular house lights were on. Nobody said anything. So then at the end of my teaching, I got up and I turned off every light, and it was blackness. And I went to each person in the room who just, it was perfect. It was God, because they just happened to be sitting near a light. And I said, now, if Sandy claims that promise, the light goes on, and one light goes on, and then, you know, and down the row I went with everybody that was in my fellowship until every light in the room was on. And that's what we are. We are the lights of the world. So as we proclaim it, every day our light gets brighter. It's impossible for it not to get brighter. Verse 16, it says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. That's what we want to say when Christ comes back. Hey, this was really all worth it, wasn't it? Not just, you know, eternal life, but my whole life was worth it. It was worth it to be like Jesus Christ. So I want to look at the word image, and the word image is the Greek word icon, and that means a likeness or a representation. And I also found this definition. Image is the Son of God into which true Christians are transformed, not only speaking of the heavenly body, but also to the state of mind of Jesus Christ. So we're going to go over some pretty basic scriptures that I know you all know. Colossians 1:15. And when I said that God doesn't leave us alone once he tells us to have the mind of Christ, there's other verses. The he that began such a good work in you. He began it. He's going to finish it. And you're changed from glory to glory. Well, what is the glory here on earth to the glory that we're going to see in heaven? Which I can't even imagine. But in Colossians 1:15, it says, we're talking about Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. That was Jesus Christ. He was the visible image of the invisible God. Now go back to the Gospel of John, which is now one of my new favorite books. But John 14. We're going to read a couple of verses here. No, we're not. Just two. I can't even read my own writing. Chapter 14, verse 8. And this is Jesus Christ. And Philip, Jesus Christ just got done talking about a new commandment, give I to you, you know, to the disciples. And then Philip says unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, and I can just feel this now after I read some of the things that I learned. Lord, show us this. And Jesus Christ, how long have I been with you guys? Like, it's not, how long have I been here? Like, I can just feel the emotion in that answer there. Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? So we have Jesus Christ, was the image of the invisible God. God is in Christ. Romans 8:29. Go to him. A29, it says, for whom God he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That's us he's talking about, that we can be conformed. And that conformed means to be jointly formed, having the same form as another. Like how Julia, she just knew that I was Julia's relation somehow, because we looked alike. So it's God in Christ and Christ in us. Okay? And I'm going to read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I know I have a lot of flipping around here today. And I know you know these things. Chapter 5, verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, and not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. God was in Christ, Christ is in you. You can say that a million trillion times and never really fully understand. God is in Christ, and Christ is in you. Maybe you can, but I can't. So I want to ask everybody, has everybody had an x-ray in here? Mm-hmm. I've had x-rays, MRIs, CAT scans, and never, when I walked out of that room and had my x-ray read, did somebody say to me, wow, I saw Christ in you. They're never going to say that. That MRI, they're never going to say, hey, there's Christ in you. That CAT scan, the most intricate test that medical technology can have, they're never going to say, I saw Christ in you. And I was listening to, when I was working out in my yard, and I know I've mentioned I have ringing in my ears all the time, and I was working out in my yard, and I get peace when I have headphones on, which is, I think, the reason I got the ringing in my ears, but I don't hear it. So I was listening to old teachings of Dr. Werwell, and of course, every time I hear one of those things, it always fits right along with what I wanted to share. And he made a statement, people can't see spirit, they can only see our walk. No matter how many x-rays, no matter what, nobody's going to see the Christ in us until we start walking like him. So if you want to see the Christ, if you want people to see the Christ in you, you have to strive to walk like Jesus Christ did. So remember, the clearer our image is, the clearer our walk will be. So I started reading the Gospels, as I said, over and over, listening to them. And boy, I learned a lot. Now I'm going to start with some things that you might find a little silly. But I tried to make Jesus, I know what the epistles say about Jesus Christ. I know what the Gospels say. But I was focusing more on the Gospel because I wanted to see Jesus Christ walk as a man. So I want you to go to Luke chapter 6. And I bet you didn't know that it told us in here that Jesus Christ has a sense of humor. In Luke chapter 6, verse 39. Now, I want you to put yourself here. You're sitting here, and you're sitting at the Master's feet, and he's talking to you, and he's telling you this. And he's giving you, like, an example of something. And he spake a parable unto them and said, can the blind lead the blind? Right there I had a picture of two blind men walking. Mm-hmm. Won't they both fall into the ditch? That just cracked me up, and I thought, now I've read that a million times. But I was looking for that close personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I saw him, you know, he's pretty funny. Now, yeah, I got another one for you. John chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 59. All right, he was getting ready to be stoned. Verse 59 says, then took they up stones to cast at him. But now listen to this next part. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them that had passed them by. How did he do that? Like, he's an escape artist. He's like James Bond. Yeah. Like, I never saw that. And you can go, if you want, it's just in the next chapter, chapter 10, verse 39. It tells us that again. Therefore they sought him, they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand. How did he do that too? Like, I was cracking up. Like, some points tears were coming to my eyes, but some points I was laughing at stuff like that. Wow, he's just like James Bond. Didn't know I could do that kind of stuff. But that's what I want. He was becoming clearer to me. So we're going to go to Matthew and we're going to read all the Gospels. No, we're not going to do that. But in Matthew 1, this is what I started doing. We're just going to read a couple verses. We're going to start verse 18. Oh, I see. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on the wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, and she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. So as I would read that, I would write, child of the Holy Ghost. This was just a funny thing I was doing to amuse myself as I was reading this. Okay, verse 19. It says, while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, saying, thou son of David, fear not to take thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. I would write again, he's of the Holy Ghost. Next verse. His name is Jesus. He'll save people from their sins. I started writing that down. And I never stopped writing. Every verse was something about Jesus Christ. So and I found that he was, like I just said, a child of the Holy Ghost, came from the Holy Ghost, named Jesus. He'll save his people from their sins. He was called Emmanuel, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, Rabbi, Messiah, the Anointed One, Savior, the Christ, the Shepherd, etc., etc. We all know all those names that Jesus Christ was called. But that's what I started to do. And then in John chapter 3, and as I started to do that, I started to realize all that he was. Like, not that I didn't know all that he was, but it became clear to me. And I'm supposed to have that mind. That mind I'm supposed to have. You are sons of God. Each and every one of you right now are sons of God. So these things we should have in our hearts and in our minds. John chapter 3, hang on, I got to get there. Verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and not of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So we see that, and we see, we come away with, okay, now we know about the new birth. But let's look at Jesus Christ in those verses. He's a teacher. He's a rabbi, which master. He's a miracle worker. He obviously was compassionate, concerned for this man's spiritual life. He taught him so well. He loved him. All this is evidence. So when we're reading the Gospels, we can see the qualities that Jesus Christ had, not just the story that it's teaching us about how, you know, what he did with Nicodemus, but read in between the lines, if that's not bad to say about the word, read in between the lines and see the qualities that Jesus Christ had. And it'll bring you, you'll just see a new side of him, or maybe a side you've already seen, but that side will be up front. So Jesus Christ was a preacher, a miracle worker, a mediator, an intercessor, as Ken said. He was a teacher, a witness to the word, reconciling man to God. As you just read through this, you'll see he never backs down on the word, never ever backs down on the word. And in John 8, we're going to look at something else. Verse 3. It says, and the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. So as I'm reading, start thinking about what is being said about Jesus Christ, or put yourself in a position like that. Think of yourself in that setting and all the emotions and the feelings and the Spirit of God, everything that was going on there. And they, and in verse 4, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger and finger wrote on the ground, as though he had heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto him, He that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her. Then again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And when they heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself, he saw none but the woman. He said unto her, Woman, where are thou those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now look at all that there. We have he was compassionate. He was level-headed. He just didn't fly off like he probably wanted to do and yell and start screaming at the guys. But no, he stopped. He was listening to God. He was, again, a witness to the Word. And he loved. He loved like no other person ever loved. And he just had such compassion on that woman. And he taught. He was always teaching. He was always putting forth, holding forth the Word of God. He always did the Father's will. And if you go through the Gospels thinking of that, you'll always see it. He was always thankful, always took time to thank God. He prayed. I, for some reason, just think of the prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane and I forget what the other one was, the two that I always think of. But there's a lot of times in the Gospel he went alone and prayed. He prayed. He prayed here. Like, there's a lot of times he prayed. He got tired, just like you and me. He got tired. He was bold. He was fearless. And this is one of my favorites. He was a good host. Look at when he had fed the 5,000. He made sure there was enough for everybody to take home. You know, he ate a lot. I think he was always eating. You know, there was always food going on somewhere. Like, he got so real to me. He was confrontational. If somebody was speaking on the Word, he didn't sit down and just let them talk. He confronted them. He got up early. There's a lot to see. So when you're reading, I fell in love with the Gospel of John. Start thinking that way. So, and this is only a small image of the Gospels of Jesus Christ. Then there's the whole epistles. If you started doing that through the epistles, you know how it says there's not as many books? What's it say about all the books?
The world couldn't contain the books that would be.
Yeah. Our wrists would be broken by the time we got done writing things down if we started doing that. So the more real and tangible Jesus Christ is to you, the stronger your walk will be. This is the image that you are being conformed to each and every day as you walk in his steps. Remember John Lynn and his book that he wrote, Will the You, Real You, Please Stand Up? The real you is Christ in you, the one that nobody's ever going to see on the x-ray. But we know it's there because we can speak in tongues. So, in all the things that I was reading and learning, there was three themes or things, whatever you want to call them, that I felt that really recurred in everything that Jesus Christ did. And number one was that Jesus Christ, and think of Nick's sharings on power and authority, Jesus Christ knew beyond the shadow of a doubt who he was. He knew who he was. He never stood up, well, I think I'm a son of God, or I think I'm the rabbi, I think that's either, they must be talking to me. He wouldn't be convinced. That's where we have to get. Believe me, I know it's hard. I don't know how to get convinced other than putting this word on, which was written for us, day in and day out and day in and day out. The second was all of his actions glorified God. And then third, he loved. He was the greatest lover that ever walked the face of the earth. Now, these three things we have to have in our walk as we strive to be like him. So in 1 John chapter 3, I think you can all figure where I'm going. 1 John 3, verse 2. It says, behold. Behold doesn't mean, hey, listen, just listen. Behold this. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now are we the sons of God. Another thing that I happened to grab, the Bible tells me so, written by Dr. Burrell, and, sweet. Take that back. I'll tell you that one the next time. I jumped ahead of myself. But we have to believe that we are the sons of God. We have to. Whatever it takes. The more reading the Word, putting pictures, you know, sayings on the mirror, so that when we look in the mirror, we see ourselves as who we really are, the Christ in us. And the second thing we need, and now's the time to do this, our actions need to glorify God. And to glorify God, I can't believe I didn't really write it down, but it basically means that you're bringing into existence the truth. When you glorify God, you're bringing the truth into existence. That's what Jesus Christ always did. And that's what our actions do. And this is where Dr. Worrell said, and the Bible tells me so. He wrote, we must continue. There's one question that we must continue to ask ourselves every day. Does our walk glorify God? That's why we're here, so our walk can glorify God. And God, as we see, has given us tools and tools and tools. And Jesus Christ, he's there to help us get through this life so our walk can glorify God. And go to John chapter 15. You know, I said to Chuck when I was putting this together, I said, I don't know if this is going to be too long or too short. And he says, well, just keep your eye on the clock. Well, this is what I do when I take my lunch break. I always forget what time I started. And I'll come back and they'll say, you're back already? Oh, you know, I didn't know what time I left. I don't remember. So I don't remember, but I don't think I'm going to be too long. John 15:8, which we're going to read again, but we're going to read it right now. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. And doing the word is how we glorify God. That's what it is. And there's three chapters of John that I read over and over again, and I really tossed back and forth whether to just read those three chapters and that be my teaching, but I didn't do that. But I do want to cover chapter 15, not the whole entire chapter, but a lot of the verses. Because Jesus Christ so loved like we've never known. And it's so evident in chapter 15, 16, and 17 is the prayer that he prayed to God for his disciples, and it's beautiful. But in chapter 15, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, as I read the next couple things, I want you to really think, listen to the word abide. Okay, we're going to see, I think it's 7 or 8 times in just a couple of verses here that abide is. It says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. Right off, what does it say? Abide in me. Jesus Christ abides in us, but he wants us to abide in him. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide on the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and it withereth. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified. His Father, God, is glorified when Jesus Christ abides in you. This is already done, but as you abide in him, God is glorified. It's simple. It's black and white. It says, as the Father hath loved you, so have loved me. I'm sorry, put my glasses back on. So have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, even ye shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. And just that made me like, wow, Jesus Christ really cares about my joy being full. But he does. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And this is really the verse that made me go crazy here. Ye are my friends. And I thought, wow, I sing the song, we have a friend in Jesus, all that. But Jesus Christ, you know, is my friend. Think of how many people in your life that you see every day. You know, it's comical, I work in, you know, same place every day, and I see the same people. And this one lady, every morning I see her, wait, go to the elevator, swipe her tag. I think for 20 years we've been saying hello, and that's it. I see the guy sitting behind the x-ray desk. Hey, I don't even know his name. And so there's relationships that we have with people that we just go like that to, or just pass by. That's not the relationship we need to have with Jesus Christ. We need to have a relationship like no other, because there is no other relationship than the one that you can have with Jesus Christ. But he is your friend, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command. Now here's the command. It's so hard. It's that you love one another. You know, he didn't say that you, I don't know, think of something really horrible to do, but he didn't say that. That's his command, that ye love one another. If we love one another, we're not going to have murmurings and disputings. We're not going to have backbiting. We're going to help. We're going to walk that better walk, because I want Janet and Melissa and John. I want their walks to be good. I want my walk to be good if we're loving one another. And that's that hard commandment that Jesus Christ gave us to do. And if you back up, it will glorify God. So I really exhort you to read chapter 15, 16, and 17, and read them over and over again, because the love that Christ has for us is just so evident in that. So if you have God in Christ in you, and as we, you have God in, not if you have, you have God in Christ in you, and as we keep our image of Jesus Christ in our hearts and minds and walk on it, we are continually being conformed, jointly formed with Jesus Christ. People will see our walk, and it will glorify God. The love of God and Jesus Christ will come oozing out of our pores. People will want to have what we have. That's what we want people to have. We want them to want what we have. We have Christ in us. But remember, that x-ray is not going to pick it up. So we have to bring it out. And I picked a poem from an old book. And it's Sermons We See. I have my glasses on to read this. And it says, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one should walk with me than merely tell the way. Now just think of your life in fellowship. It's much better when we see the example than just hear somebody tell us. The eye's a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Fine counseling is confusing, but examples always clear. And the best of all the preachers are the men who live their creeds. For to see good out in action is what everybody needs. I soon can learn how to do it if you'll let me see it done. I can watch your hands in action, but your tongue too fast may run. And the lecture you deliver may be very wise and true, but I'd rather get my lessons by observing what you do. For I might misunderstand you and the high advice you give, and there's no misunderstanding how you act and how you live. So that's what God has called us to do. He has called us to walk in the steps of Jesus Christ, and he's enabled us with the tools that we need to walk in Jesus Christ. So that's what I wanted to share with you. And like I said, I really exhort you to read those three chapters of John, or the whole book of John. But you guys, I mean, it was just like I said in the beginning, it's obvious you have a great relationship with Jesus Christ. Just keep stoking that fire and just keep walking, so that others can see the walk that you have and glorify God. Okay? Thank you.